Hi, Hope. How are you doing? Good. It's Sunday night. I have not been to a Sunday night service in quite a while, so let me first of all just say hello to you guys. It's an honor to be a part of this time tonight with you. I just want to share a little bit with you about what God is stirring in my heart, the ministry that I get to be a part of these days, and hopefully it's a blessing to you and just a challenge maybe to you to be praying for what God is up to in a new way, in a new place of digital ministry. But before I go there, let me just give you a bit about me. I've been on staff here for a while, started here in 1999, way back, you know, in the previous century. I've been on staff in a couple of different roles. I did student ministry for several years until I realized that I wasn't cool anymore. Actually, I stopped being cool around age 25, but I figured it out at age 38. And so I decided to transition, and I always told God, I said, and I asked God actually in my prayers, when it's time for me to move into something else, make it obvious for me. I didn't want to be the guy that stayed at the party too long. I wanted to be, felt like God had moved me into a place where I could be useful and I had some gifts and some passion. And then this online ministry thing started to happen. And I got excited about it because this is a new place to reach people for the good news of God. And it's just, it's been a whirlwind past few years with me kind of walking through that. But just the bigger thing in general is, as a church, this is a new frontier for us. We're not finished in how we're reaching out to the world around us. It'd be really easy for us as a church, especially since Hope is so, I think, adept at reaching out to this world and bringing new people into faith, to think, well, haven't we got this already figured out? Aren't we good enough at this sort of a thing yet? But that would fall so far short of, I think, God's vision for us as a church. One of the first things that struck me when I was interviewing for the position here at Hope was the core value that said that we worship God and not tradition. That we're totally about trying new things. That we're not going to get stuck in the old way of doing things. So let's try to reach God for new things. So I want to share with you just a vision for what this can look like for us as a church, because it is so desperately needed still out there in the world, a new way of doing things. Because the church, I don't know if you realize this, because we are so blessed, I think, that to have this place and to come in and to worship together. But the church at large is really in a time of crisis, a time where churches are closing so frequently that we don't quite know what to do with this. In fact, I read an article recently about a church in a town to the south of us, and the article basically said how excited the city was that this church was closing, because they were going to be getting some green space. And how tragic that was. Where's the vibrancy that used to exist in these places? Where's the vibrancy in the body of Christ? You guys, this is the greatest story ever told. This idea of following a God who came back from the dead in Jesus Christ. And for whatever reason, in places like that, it's not resonating anymore. And why is that? Why is it that these things are happening in these spaces? Maybe it's because we've kind of lost some of our roots, some of what grounded us in who we are as Christians, and especially Lutheran Christians. We've been walking through this series on the confirmation, this renewal of what we really truly believe as Lutheran Christians. And at the core of Lutheranism is something absolutely astoundingly beautiful. Martin Luther talked about it in these four ways, that we have a God that we think about in grace, that we have a God that loves us enough to gift us grace when we need it. And that's because of our faith, because of how much we believe. It's not because of anything we have to do or earn. Martin Luther, when he was talking about this, this was a real avant-garde sort of a concept, because at the time people thought they had to earn grace from God. It was something you had to be good enough in order to get. But Luther said, no, grace comes by faith, and it comes from knowing the Word of God. So grace alone, faith alone, Word alone, the living Word of God, which is personified in Jesus Christ. And that is the fourth tenet, that it's from Christ, and that's who we follow and serve. Greatest story ever told. In fact, Paul, in this passage that was read just a little bit ago by Tom from Ephesus, or from Ephesians, was about this little church in Ephesus, this upstart, if you will, this new concept, this new idea that was kind of popping up in house churches around the area where Jesus did his ministry. And if you can imagine how exciting it was to start something new, to kind of be entrepreneurial, to be on the front edge of something that nobody had ever done before, because there was something special happening for people who were followers of the way at the time. And so Paul wrote this letter to them, encouraging them, saying, hey, you can do this, because God is going to give you the power that is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. You have the ability to tap into that same power, so stay faithful, church. Stay after it. And how exciting that must have been for the church to be totally into the ministry that it was about. Fast forward a couple thousand years, and for whatever reason, that's become a bit stale. And it's not because the message isn't still relevant to us. It is the best. But we have, as a church, corporately, turned it into something that it wasn't. This is my heritage, too. This is why it breaks my heart so much. I didn't grow up Lutheran. I came back into the church at a later time, which is another sermon for another time. But it's a heritage that almost didn't happen for me, because let me illustrate for you how terrible we are sometimes as the church at making Christ known to the world. Back in the mid-1950s, my family was growing up in a little small town. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, took his family to the local Lutheran church. And they went in. And I don't know how long they had been attending or if this was first day they showed up or when it happened. But as I was sitting with my dad just a few short years ago on his back porch and kind of asking him, Dad, why didn't we go to church growing up? This is the story that he told me. He goes, when we were attending this church, somehow they found out that my dad, my grandfather, was a Mason. And the leadership of that church approached my dad's family and said to my grandfather, I'm sorry, sir, you're not welcome here. Can you imagine being an 8-year-old boy whose dad is your hero and going to a church where you were supposed to be welcomed and accepted and having those words spoken over your dad? Is it any wonder that my family struggled with church growing up? Because that was my father's church pain. We can get so tied up in the rules that we forget the life that Jesus lived to set us free. And there are so many churches, as I'm starting to have conversations with people who are in smaller towns, where this is too often the case. We used to be relevant, but not so much anymore. We used to feel alive, but for whatever reason, we're dying. Can we speak into those moments, church? Can we find a way to be a light and truth into these places? Because really, I think what we've lost in these spaces is our narthex moments. This is what I call them. I don't know if you grew up in a church that had a narthex. We did. No, I shouldn't say we did. I did when I started to go back to church in eighth grade. My church in Indianola, Iowa, had a narthex. It was that gathering place, what we would call the bridge. And the best part about that space is that's where you hung out as a church. Between services, before we would go to Sunday school hour, we would hang out in the narthex and we would have a cup of coffee, which Lutherans often refer to as the third sacrament, behind communion, baptism, and coffee. But I'm here to tell you, Lutheran coffee is absolutely atrocious at its core. We have some pretty good coffee here. But when I was growing up, it was just basically a caffeine delivery system. And so I would go out there as an eighth grade boy, and I so badly, because I started to go back to church by myself, I so badly wanted to hang out with the adults, because a lot of junior high kids do that. They want to hang out with the big kids. And so I would go out in the narthex, and this is where the conversations would happen. People would catch up with one another. They would find out what's happening in their families and the world. It was a real true gathering point of the week. One of many, but a very, very important one. You didn't want to miss coffee hour at church because that's where you found out so much about what was happening in the life of your town. And so I would go out and I would grab a cup of coffee and I would realize pretty quickly that this didn't taste very good. But they had this white powdery substance and this stuff called sugar side by side. And I put 2 scoops of cream and 2 scoops of sugar in my coffee and I started to, that's where I learned how to drink coffee, was at church. And over time, it became kind of this thing where I would go out and coffee was just a real big deal for me. And I would stand around, and the best part about it, listen to this, I'm a 14-year-old punk, which really hasn't changed much at 44, but I was a punk then. But these adults didn't treat me like a 14-year-old kid. They invited me in. And they asked me how school was going. How was choir going? How was tennis going? Whatever it was that I was involved in. Because I mattered to the community that I was a part of. This is what's missing so often in these smaller places, these gathering points for people. There's an article that was on the news just a couple of years ago where they were talking about this in Iowa. How they went into these small towns and they were trying to figure out what was happening on Sunday mornings. And they interviewed some people. They're still gathering. They still find an importance in community. The problem is they're finding different places to do it. In fact, they interviewed a couple of older farmers that were sitting down at the local Casey's having a cup of coffee. And they asked them, why aren't you going to church? Well, it doesn't resonate with us anymore. So we come here and get our coffee and get our gossip and find out what's going on. Or in other small towns, it's at the local restaurants or wherever it is that people gather. There's still hunger for community. We just as the church have kind of lost our foothold in that space. And I wonder if it isn't that we just have just forgotten the main mission that we have. We get so comfortable. Church turns into kind of this clubhouse feel. Now, when I'm talking about this, once again, let me say to you, as a rule around here, I don't feel that's the way it is at Hope. I feel like we do a good job, hopefully, of reaching around to the people around us and getting to know who they are. What I'm speaking about is what I'm hearing as I'm digging into this world outside of these walls. Is that people are finding that it just doesn't exist anymore. It's not relevant to them. So how can we begin to connect? Well, it's to go back to our core. Go back to that core value. The second one that resonated with me when I was seeking to maybe get on staff here at Hope was that lost people matter to God, and so they must matter to us. That's an amazing core value to think about. Lost people matter. What does that look like for us? Because if the church is truly becoming a clubhouse where people just feel like we just have to kind of hang on to what we got, we're turning inward when we do that. Lost people matter to God, so they matter to us is a complete shift of that mentality. It's an outward focus. Looking around you, finding people who aren't connecting with church, for whom their story just hasn't resonated over time. And finding ways to reach into their lives and say, I want to tell you about this wonderful God that I've known and the ways that he changed my life. This is something that's happening all the time around here, where people are constantly inviting folks to come in and hear. That's why I think we've been able to plant the 5 campuses, now 6, with Ames that we have, and see the growth that we've had, because there's a power in a shared story. There's a power in community. And there's a new community that's happening online that I want to spend some time talking with you about today. If you believe some of the studies that are out there, most people would say that on average, a person will spend upwards of 4 to 6 hours online per day, personally. Can you think about that for a moment? This is a great, great reason for why we as a church should be hanging out in these spaces. I joke with people that I actually get paid right now to be online. It's not a bad gig if you can get it. And when I'm out there, I'm thinking, what are the ways that Hope can reach people for the gospel in this space? A few years ago, we started this online worship at 11 o'clock. And I can't remember the exact date that it started, but I just remember that we just had the ability, we had the cameras, we had the live stream, we could send this signal out. Let's just see if God can do something with this when we do it. As we were broadcasting this out and the numbers started to grow, and this is about the time that I was transitioning from student ministry into online ministry. And as I saw these numbers start to grow, I was just thinking, who are these people that would take time out of their Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to worship with us online? What is it that's so compelling about sitting in front of a computer screen that's different than hanging out in person somewhere? And so I said, you know, I want to find out a way to get to know these people. Because when we were getting these numbers in, what I would see is what's called an IP address. It's fancy computer language for like your own street address. Your computer has an address. And when it checks in with us, that's what I see. I can't see that it's you in particular that's watching. It's like, how can we get to know who these people are? So I had a crazy wild idea one year around Ash Wednesday. We were going to broadcast that Wednesday night service, and it wasn't going to go out to a lot of people. We'd only had, you know, the year before about 100 people that had watched Wednesday. So I said, can we try something and just see if it works? I said, do we have a webcam that we can put up in one of our booths up there, and I can just go online ahead of the stream and just say hello? Because I wanted to connect them to a somebody. I thought that could maybe change things a bit. And so we turned on the stream, and the camera went on, and I had to talk live without messing up to the world. And I just basically said, hey, I'm so glad you'd worship with us here on this Ash Wednesday. We've been praying for you. We believe it's no accident that you're here. And I got an email back later that day saying, wow, it was so cool that you said hi to us. Thank you for doing that. It totally changed the way that I experienced that service. Light went on. People are hungry for connection, even in that space. Well, fast forward a bit, we built a booth up here. We added a camera, and this is something that was happening now on a regular basis. We were trying to figure out who these folks were. And sure enough, some regular attenders started to pop up around the country. We were having folks watch regularly from Colorado Springs, Colorado, from Sun Valley Lake just down here in southern Iowa, to Allentown, Pennsylvania, to Boston, Massachusetts, to Bakersfield, California, to Houston, Texas, to Nashville, Tennessee, around the globe in Japan, Afghanistan, all these places where people were tuning in to hang out with us online. And I was getting to hang out with them. I thought, this is fascinating to me. What can we do with this, God? I was still praying this big, bold prayer. What do you want to do with this? And this is your story, Hope. Because of how faithful you have been, this is what God is doing through you in this space that I get to tend to. And some of them started to ask these bigger, bolder questions. Is it possible, or would it be possible, for Hope to come to our town? These regular attenders, they got hungry for community. And like I said, we'd planted campuses over the year. I thought we had a pretty good handle on what that looked like. We've done 5 around the metro area at that point. But a campus assumed that we had a critical mass of people that were already present, that were ready to gather. And we had a leadership team that would go out that was committed to seeing that campus launch. We would hire a campus director or a pastor to lead that space. We would hire a worship team to go and be a part of leading the congregation in worship. All of that was in place for campus. But in these smaller towns, we couldn't afford to necessarily do that right away. But they were asking those big, bold questions. And that's kind of what birthed this idea of local sites. And I want you to meet a guy. His name is John Hill. And he and his wife, Lonnie, live in Ames. And I want to have him tell you the story just about Ames, which is now our 6th campus. And then we'll come back and we'll dig into this a little bit more. Take a look at this. John is one of my favorite people. He's a retired plant virologist from Iowa State University. He dealt with sick plants, essentially. But he just would not leave it alone. He wanted so badly to see if Hope could come to Ames. But Ames doesn't happen without Scott and Mary Matteson, who are from Forest City. They're the first ones that kind of approached me about this idea of what it would look like. If you've ever been blessed by traveling and being able to watch online, Think about this. You're doing that on vacation. Imagine being in a place where there isn't necessarily a vibrant community that you can worship with. Now, there are some great churches in Forest City, but for whatever reason, this small group of folks that were kind of nomadic were not finding a place that they could fit in. And so they reached out to me, and they said, Mark, what would it look like if we just gathered a few people together and watched online together? And I didn't really have a reason to say no, because they could do that whether I said yes or not, because we were sending the stream out to the world. They just wanted to do it. And so I thought, well, let's give it a little bit of framework. I said, is the community room at the YMCA still basically wide open on Sunday mornings? And they said, yeah. So what if we use that? And so they got it together, they opened the doors, and lo and behold, 30 people showed up the first week to hang out and worship online. Now, mind you, this is 100% online. It doesn't have a live worship team. It doesn't have a live teaching presence. It is basically turning on our live stream like you would do if you've ever been home by yourself and watching it. And a fascinating thing started to happen. People started to get connected to a bigger story. And it was crazy. I went up and I hung out with them after they'd been doing this for a little bit, and I just kind of wanted to see what God was up to in that space. And here's what I witnessed. I walked in, and first things first, the stream turns on, the songs start, and people are singing out loud. Not only that, they're clapping at appropriate times, which was fascinating. Being a music major, I thought, this is great. We're clapping on 2 and 4, not 1 and 3. And then during the offering, the team would bring a song of offering. And after offering was over, the people in Forest City clapped. And I got to thinking, they can't hear you. You're clapping at this screen. And then when Pastor Mike or whoever was teaching, we'd say, let's read this together. They would read out loud the words on the screen. And I was just blown away by this. Like, I think we might be up to something here. Holy Spirit, what Alyssa talked about earlier, the Holy Spirit was up to something in these spaces. And these folks were so on fire. They started, like, what else can we do? And they started to find ways to be missional. And they gifted food packs back to kids on Christmas that year. They were going home for Christmas break that maybe wouldn't have enough food during that time. They've done the backpack drives. They've done all these things. We've kind of tried to figure out ways to connect in this bigger story. They're excited about it. Well, then John hears that Forest City is doing something. And he's like, well, we should do something in Ames. Let's get this going. And so I thought, we better kind of come up with a plan for what this truly is. And so we came up with this idea of a local site, which is really just a gathering of between 10 and 100 people to worship together right where they are. And Ames grew so rapidly that we had to start paying attention to, can this turn into a campus? Can we actually launch a campus from something like this? And sure enough, God did that through an email that John sent. And I try and respond to as many of those as I possibly can. He was very kind. He said it was a couple of days. I think it was actually Wednesday after he emailed. I wanted to reach out to him and see how his surgery went. But this is so amazing to see what God is doing in this space. And not only that, we're branching out now into other areas. Let me show you a couple more pictures. This is the Power Life group that's now forming, fast forward there, in Forest City. They said, we've got some junior high kids now. They want to do confirmation. Can we do that? Once again, why not? And so they had 7 people together. Their leader, Tom, came and did training with our student ministry staff. And every Wednesday, those kids sit in the main space there at the YMCA, turn on the stream, and they worship with our Wednesday night program here in West Des Moines. Which, you have to understand, with a student that age, that's totally native to them. Screen is a language they speak. The technology folks will talk about it as digital natives versus digital immigrants. They're totally digital natives when it comes to this. And they are absolutely loving it. The picture on the left, this one, gets me completely stoked about the potential future for what we can do and the ways we can reach out. That's St. Paul Lutheran Church in State Center, Iowa. Right over here is Pastor Joan, and she is a wonderful woman, faithfully called to that church. Hope had never done something in a space where there actually was a pastor on staff. But there's a couple there, Kevin and Mary Lazard. This is Kevin in the back over here. Who have relocated back to that area, and they're faithful attenders of their local church, St. Paul. But they noticed that the young families weren't coming to church. This is a story we see all over small town Iowa. The young families just weren't coming to church. And so they approached the elder board of their church and approached Pastor Joan and said, can we think about or talk to Hope about maybe bringing Power Life into, which is what we call our junior high ministry, into our space. And I have been praying so ardently for the right sort of leader to come along to maybe do something like this. And so Pastor Joan came down last May to our Synod Convention here in West Des Moines. We hosted it here at Hope. And she and I sat down and we had a conversation and she was floored. She said, so we can do this, right? And I said, yes. She goes, what would this cost us? I go, nothing. We're already doing it. We're already sending it out to the world. All you have to do is turn this on. She's like, seriously, it would cost us nothing. No. We would just love, if this could be a resource to you, we want to do it. And she said, well, we're thinking about making this like a family service and inviting people in from the community. I said, that sounds great. And so that's the 75 or so people that are showing up on a regular basis on Wednesday nights in State Center to worship. She's saying that there are families that she's seen on Wednesday nights that she hasn't seen in church in a long time. Because God is up to something. In fact, this past week, the school district that they're a part of had a big sub-state volleyball match on Wednesday evening. And like I talked about, those narthex moments, those community moments, that's a big deal in small town to support your teams. And so many of those families chose to go to that, and I think I would have too if I were in town, to go and support the gals that are working so hard to make it to state. But we had two posts that night on our West Des Moines Power Life page, both from State Center kids saying how sorry they were to miss that night. These are kids that are watching on a screen. I don't know what this is yet. I don't have a model for this yet. We are just trying it with this church. Maybe it's going to be a partner church. I don't know. But I'm praying that if God can do this in a space like that, what else might God be able to do with us as we reach out to this world around us with this digital idea? Here in West Des Moines, there's an assisted living community not too far from us called Manor Care that approached us and said, can we utilize one of your rebroadcasts on Monday to show to our residents? Yes, please, that'd be great. And they've had wonderful response from this now. They turn on the stream, the residents are able to come in and to worship without necessarily having to travel because many of them are unable to do so. And I'm starting to think, can we do this in other spaces like that? This is what digital can start to do. It's breaking down barriers that we could not have done before. Paul would write letters, and these letters would have to travel to these churches like he did to this church in Ephesus. We can travel at the speed of megabits into spaces that we had never been before. Walls are falling down, and we as a church have a wonderful opportunity to be the church in places where maybe the church isn't what it ought to be. And this is what gets exciting for me. I have a whiteboard in my office that I write ideas down and just think about, because when I talk to other folks that are doing what I do in this online sphere, there isn't really a best practices yet. A lot of these churches, and they're big known churches, are saying, we're trying to figure this out as we go along too. This is really a great pioneering sort of a place. And I kind of think this must have been what it would feel like, minus the persecution part that the Ephesus church probably felt, to be on that cutting edge of bringing the good news into these places. Hope, this is your story. This is who you are. There's a passage in Luke 10 where Jesus is talking to his friends and he's saying, I'm going to send you out. Let's advance to that verse, please. The this is your story slide, please. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the field. Go, I'm sending you out. This is what we're doing. We're being sent out into crazy, wonderful places that we've never been before. We're going to try some new things too very soon. We've talked about, now that these folks are starting to gain like this idea of, okay, we're a part of Hope. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of your church family that live over 1,000 miles away. Did you know that? And they're wondering, what else can we do? If you want to sign up for Alpha, what do? Or if you've taken Alpha, you sign up for Alpha, you show up on Sunday nights, you have a wonderful meal. That's going to happen in our bridge here just in a few short moments. How does that work for somebody who lives in Colorado Springs, Colorado? Well, Joan Hanlon, who lives there, is going to be a part of a beta test we're going to try this winter of an online Alpha group. We're going to have people that are joining from around the country in various cities that's going to be led by somebody here in West Des Moines. And they're going to have a chance to watch Alpha online and then go into basically like a a go-to meeting sort of a format, if you will, to talk about and to walk through that small group time. And she was so excited that she wrote to me and she said, "Mark, what's it cost? Because I'm going to pay for everybody that I'm going to invite in my community to come and take Alpha. So what does it cost? Because I want to start saving now." I said, "Joan, the book costs $5. She's like, "That's all it costs?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, "Sweet, I'm buying 10. I mean, she is super stoked to be able to bring this to her friends in this space. That's how hungry some people are for this good news that we hold. So church, let me throw a challenge to you. When was the last time that we were that excited about inviting somebody into this space? Maybe on Sunday night, maybe on Sunday morning. When was the last time that we got super excited about bringing people in? Because don't get me wrong, while God has been up to amazing things in our church body, it'd be very easy for us to get complacent in that idea and to not have that same passion that Joan has in Colorado Springs, or that the Matissons had in Forest City, or that John and Lonnie Hill had in Ames. We still need to be about this mission that we all share to reach out to this world around us and share the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. So what's next, church? What's next for you? What's next for us? I'm praying some big, bold prayers again with God, saying, "God, what is it that you're going to be up to in this ministry that I get to be a part of? Where are the next local sites going to be? Where are the next pockets of people going to kind of arise that'll start to keep this wave of the Holy Spirit going?" We have a couple of groups that are forming right now. And if you know of folks, a family or relatives that may be out there somewhere who are just maybe not resonating with church where they are, I would love to get to know them. We have a group of about 27 IP addresses that get together that are worshiping in Sioux City, Iowa. I have no clue who these people are, but there's 27 of them. I want to start to get to know who these people are and to see if maybe, just maybe, God would begin to do a work in them through us to reach their little communities. Because it would break my heart if churches keep closing and we could have done something about it. We could have come alongside of them to help lift them up in that time. So what I want to invite you all to do is basically two things. The first is be thinking once again, that invitational heart, that maybe God would stir that up in you again. But also, I want to ask you to just fervently pray for what God is up to online, for these folks, and for vision, and for the many ways that God will continue to use that space to reach people for the good news. Because we've launched a campus through this. Ames this morning met, and I haven't seen the numbers yet, but there are hundreds of people coming in. Because one guy online said, "What do you think?" It's the same power that you get to tap into. That you are born into as a member of the family of God. The same power that rolled the stone away as we sang is alive in us today. We just have to ask those big, bold questions again ourselves. What can God do in and through me for his church? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this challenge to bring the good news to your people. God, I thank you for the many ways you have worked in and through us as a church to reach out to this world around us. God, as we see the many different ways that you're at work in this new realm, this digital realm, God, that you remind us that most importantly is not to connect to this computer or to a thing. God, it's to connect to you, that you are at the core of why we do what we do. God, it is your power, your Holy Spirit in us that accomplishes great things. Apart from you, we can do nothing, but through you, all things are possible. God, that we might reach into assisted living facilities where people are unable to travel to bring them a good news. That we could reach into towns where vibrant Christians still live, but maybe there isn't a space for them to worship anymore. God, that we can come alongside teenagers who have just said, "I'm done with church," and bring it alive in them again. God, those are the things we pray for. God, use us in radical ways to reach out to this world we currently live in here in West Des Moines, to find folks for whom church isn't resonating with them, to bring them in to hear this good news too. We thank you for this in your name. Amen.